G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 22B.
If we take the same law from the point of view of love, and we know, for instance, that love is that which fulfills everything, which is always at the point of fulfillment, of perfection, so we can see and say now, what is happening in that universe of God, in the divine universe? And we can see that love says the following. It says, love fulfills itself out of itself. Love doesn't fulfill itself through the help of people, doesn't fulfill itself through the treatment of a practitioner. Love is not dependent on people or any other origin, but its own origin. So love is the own well out of which love fulfills love out of itself. So that love, as the Christ says, I have my own Christ, I am the Christ. So that love fulfills itself through the whole of love. That's the medium through which the Christ works, through the whole of love. And it gives me a great impact that actually love is constantly, universally engaged in expressing itself and manifesting itself and translating itself and expressing itself as the whole of love and not just as little bits of love. So that the outcome of it, Christianity, is that love that fulfills itself out of itself and through itself fulfills itself as love, just love, not as loving people, loving a situation, people loving each other, much more that it fulfills itself as the one and only love. There is just one thing in the universe, and that's just love. At the level of divine science, we don't have anything like loving. That God loves me, I love God, we love each other, we love our enemies. There's just one concept of being, of the nature of being, which we can symbolize as love, as that point. Well, love is never without its manifestation, so that the universe is never without its absolute, perfect, fulfilled manifestation. That's my treatment at that point. For what purpose on earth should that be? And the foresight says that's for the purpose of glorifying God as love, the highest sense of God that we know. So the treatment that I give is not for the glory of a patient or the practitioner. It's not for the glory of saying, come on people, look here how wonderful Christian Science is. The purpose of that treatment is that we inwardly glorify the nature of God as love and stand in awe before that great sense that there is actually no other universe but the universe of love, which is never without its manifestation and object. And so in this way I can go through that law practically endlessly. I can take other ideas of the seventh synonymous term as long as I stick always to the law of divine science, namely that it is always the whole. Therefore, through the four sides, out of the whole, through the whole, as the whole, for the glory of the whole. That's really holism. Then I give a treatment that really shows forth the holistic sense of a treatment. And we can easily see that if we do that, that may have been that prayer, that demonstration, that treatment that Jesus may have given when he healed the multitude. When he didn't ask everyone what problem each one had, but when he said, this is of no avail, if I have the whole, that contains also the details, the parts. And so with a consciousness of divine science, which is a very high consciousness, naturally we are not treating individual patients, then we are treating being, so to say. We contemplate the beingness of the one being, and that includes everything. And whatever is receptive in that universe will feel the benefit of that treatment. And whoever is transparent for the spiritual will be blessed by that treatment. No treatment is lost. So if we go sit back sometimes and see that law, then we can also know that it will attract and find those people that are ready for this idea, and that somehow they will be touched by it, and that they will find the idea. Yes, this is naturally a very high altitude of consciousness, and we are not always there, or I would perhaps say we are very rarely there. So if Christian Science is a savior, then naturally this divine atmosphere must be able to be translated to a saving universe, to a Christian universe, to a Christian Science. And so we come to the next two levels that are both Christian Science. The one is absolute Christian Science, and the next is Christian Science, which means that both levels will have a common denominator, that of saving. Can you see, when we went through the law of science itself, and then through the law of divine science, we didn't feel any saving effect or saving office, because there was no need for it. We were contemplating being as it is, and being does not need to be saved. What needs to be saved is our misunderstanding of being. So, as our altitude of consciousness is not always on the level of science itself or of divine science, we have to go further down in the descending way and perhaps entertain our consciousness on the level of absolute Christian Science. And so my treatment goes to the level of absolute Christian Science, which perhaps is already much nearer to our present understanding of the system of Christian Science. And I begin to see that that level demands very different laws. We have said that every time we change from one level to the next level, we have different laws at work, and every structure has different laws, and we must know these laws. But these laws can be defined through the categories. If we have the category of absolute Christian Science, we know at once the fundamental aspect of it, namely that it must be a law which defines the relationship between principle and idea. That's what we have seen to be the level of absolute Christian Science, where we are dealing with laws that are concerned, so to say, with the relationship between principle and idea. So here again, we see that this level has a fourfold operation, because we can't leave out the category of the four sides of the holy city. So we have to consider the relationship of principle to idea from four different standpoints. From the standpoint of the world, then from the standpoint of the Christ, then Christianity, and then science. And every time we get another law, because every standpoint then sees the relationship of principle to idea from another angle. And so our research, or the research that John Dolly made, has shown that Mrs. Eddy would symbolize absolute Christian Science in the word sense through the synonymous term life, truth, and love. Of life, truth, and love as a trinity, not as a sequence. As a trinity or as a chord, so to say, therefore not as a sequence where life leads to truth and truth leads to love. That's not the case here, but it is a unity, a tri-unity of life, truth, and love. And this word has its own definite office. Namely, what is the office of the word? We have seen the office of the word is its self-declaration. It is the logos. It is the creative logos that declares that God is the infinite creator, the logos, that through the logos all has been made, whatever has been made. But it is a logos and a creator on the level of absolute Christian Science, which says, I'm only concerned with that creative ability that has to do with the bringing forth into the universe specific ideas. Because on the level of Christian Science, we have seen, it is the sense that principle expresses itself specifically to every idea, to this idea, to this idea, therefore specifically shows how that divine principle, which is life, truth, and love, brings forth, as a creative sense, the ideas of perfection. So, in the textbook we see that Mrs. Eddy uses that combination of life, truth, and love quite often. And when one investigates it, one sees that this life, truth, and love is, so to say, the law of infinite impulsion, of creative impulsion, or we could say perhaps the law of infinite spontaneity, the law of infinite of a genius, the genius impulsion, the new impulsion, that which brings into being and lets bring into being constantly something new. That is the law of spontaneity. And so we see here it is the law of divine impulsion, perhaps we could call it, which says what? Which says, life says constantly, I impel constantly new ideas. Now you have the relationship between principle and ideas, and says, life, the newness of life, the impulsion of life, brings constantly forth new ideas. But it is not only life, it is also embedded in life is truth and love, which says that infinite impulsion of life that is constantly at work at every moment in being, there is life impelling a new idea, and that idea is of the nature of truth. We can rely on it that what life impels has the form of truth, that it is true and not just something wrong. And that implies also the nature of love that says that life which impels a new idea is not only a true idea, but is right from the beginning a fulfilled idea, a perfect idea. So that we get here an origin which is brought out differently than on the level of divine science, where you just had one life as the origin and says that's the origin, that there is only one being. But now that we ask, how does that one being bring forth infinite diversified ideas adapted to specific situation, we must see that this one being must be a very active being which is constantly creative, divinely creative. Therefore, on the level of absolute Christian Science, we see that wonderful law of life, truth, and love, which says, life constantly impels the bringing forth, the bringing into being a new idea. That new idea has the form of truth. It is true. It has a true form and is already at the point of perfection. That source is a perfect source that is absolutely true. And so I get a great sense. I think this is one of the most tangible law that we have perhaps in treatment, in practice, where we sit back and say, here I have a specific case. Now, what is taking care of this specific case? Who is the practitioner? I can't be the practitioner because as a person, I'm limited. I'm not a holistic practitioner. I must find a holistic practitioner. And the holistic practitioner can only be God. And here we have God as a word that says life, truth, and love is really that practitioner who constantly is bringing forth the right idea for the situation, life. And that right idea is of the nature of truth, not of error. And that idea that is of the nature of truth is already now fulfilled and complete and perfect. It does not have to make something perfect. That would not be the relationship between principle and idea. So we have to see that right in right at the well of being, at the well of life, there is a well that is truth and that is love. That is a perfect well which is of the nature of health and of truth. And so I feel that constantly that wonderful sense is going on, that what the Bible may have said, that what really has begun the good work, begin the good work, life, will perform itself, truth, until the day of Jesus Christ. It is perfect. It can't fail. It can't miss the mark. So we can see here that in that law of life, truth, and love, we have, so to say, the success mechanism of being, that there is something operating constantly in a creative way that constantly says to every new problem that pops up, says, oh, this is a new problem. Okay, it doesn't matter. I also pop up at every moment. I'm very spontaneous. I'm the creator. I can impel my ideas at once, and these ideas that I impel are true, and they are already at the point of fulfillment. So I have really a wonderful success mechanism with the word of life, truth, and love, so that we can see that man is actually programmed for success because of that law of life, truth, and love. So that in our treatment, I begin to see, well, nothing can go wrong, really, in the divine universe. Even if it doesn't fit into the human and material picture, in the divine picture, I know that that law is at work. And therefore, we should be able to sit back and rest and in stillness and listen to that terrific, powerful law of life that says, I impel, I impel, I impel. I bring forth, I bring forth. I have a well of life, I have an infinite well of life. And what I bring forth are the true waters of life. And these true waters of life are the waters of health and of perfection. They are of the nature of life, truth, and love. So we really are geared to perfection. We can't help to find our salvation. So man is programmed to success. So the spirit of victory rests within us. We can't help that because we cannot put away life, truth, and love. Where life, truth, and love is here. It's the one being of divine science. That one life is here. And that one life in the world of divine science translates itself to absolute Christian science as the world and says, I impel constantly the right ideas. I'm constantly on the go. I never sleep nor slumber. I'm right awake to it, and therefore it is that wonderful law of spontaneity, that wonderful law of infinite progression, because it says, I bring forth constantly something new, and I accelerate always the new. That's why we have that sense that even in the sciences, as we have seen, there is that law of life, truth, and love, which says that the development of science has within itself the law of life, truth, and love, the law of life as infinite acceleration in the sciences. There is always unfoldment in the science, and in an accelerated way. It's the law of logicity, truth, in the sciences, and it is always the law of love in the sciences, namely that the sciences are goal-directed. They are really aiming at the great goal. They are holistic, they are telefinalistic, they are teleological. So you can see, just try to feel that law is constantly somehow humming in your consciousness, that there is always a hum within ourselves which says, whatever's going on in the world, that doesn't matter. What matters is the law of life, truth, and love, that divine success mechanism which says, I'm built for victory. I have the spirit of victory within myself. Then we come to the law of Christ in absolute Christian science, which says, yes, that general law of life, truth, and love, because it is on the level of absolute Christian science, which has to take care of the relationship between principle and specific ideas, not general ideas, that would be the level of divine science, but of specific idea, I must have a Christ that translates the law of life, truth, and love, the word, to the specific situation. So Mrs. Eddy shows that through the law of truth, life, and love. So to say, through the law of infinite individualization or infinite specification or selection, it says that the whole ideal of the world, of life, truth, and love, which we have considered, has a Christ. It translates that whole ideal to the point of a specific idea, adapted to a specific situation. That therefore you must have truth, life, and love there, because it says, as truth, I take the whole ideal of the world of life, truth, and love, and I, as the Christ, I individualize that ideal. Life individualizes and says, I individualize that for every situation that is adapted to, that is specific to every situation. So that when bread is needed, I don't give stone, I give bread. And if stones are needed, I don't give bread, I give stone. It's specific. And it's specific so that it is adapted to a situation, so that it really can fulfill a need. That's love. So you have truth, life, and love as a law that says to me, all right, just be quiet, just be still, just look into infinitude and see in being there is a law at work that says, as the world, I'm the infinite life, truth, and love. The infinite impulsion of life that is right from the beginning a true life, that is right from the beginning a fulfilled life. But I need a Christ to translate it to a specific situation, so that it is so to say, specific to a situation, you would say it's tailor-made, so that it really fits exactly. Well, that law is truth, life, and love. Truth individualized as life, adapted through love to the situation so that it is actually a solution. So it is known if I need to have the solution of 5 times 5, it's no use if I know that 6 times 6 is 36. That's not adapted to the situation. So love is that which can adapt itself to that which we need, adapted to our needs. And I get a terrific sense that there is a selector here at work that that takes out of the whole ideal, selecting it so that it brings forth that specific individual truth, life, that is really the answer to a situation, the solution, love. And so I get the further sense of what's going on that level of absolute Christian science. We make a break here because I can't finish the next law.